For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome and good morning. Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina. The Fantasy Jesus, with George Kurtz, the Fantasy Handyman. George, how's it going? I know you were working on that ceiling yesterday. You're like the Bob Vila of fantasy. What's happening?
Yes, the ceiling is up. The ceiling is up there. So
just don't stand under it, right? Just in case it doesn't stay up.
No, I know what I'm doing.
You did a good job?
Okay. It's up, yeah.
You got a big tool belt there, George?
No, I don't wear a tool belt. That's the only thing is I have tools all over the place, and you know if anybody's ever worked on things, you can't find something. You don't know where don't remember where you put it. It's on the table. It's on the couch. It's on the end table. It's on the top of my DVDs. Whatever the hell, and you do start searching for things.
That's like my house, man.
I don't do.
You never know where something's going to be. Yeah, yeah.
A belt would come in handy.
Well, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
A tool belt.
A handy dandy tool belt.
Yay me.
There you go. Sean Engel, the Fantasy Prince, producing our show, is going to be interacting with us because, it may be April 14th, but winter is coming, George. Tonight, the season premiere of the final season of Game of Thrones. Epic show on HBO. Got a quiz here that was in the New York Post that we're going to take as the morning progresses. Test your Game of Thrones knowledge. So winter's coming. Tomorrow's tax day too, George. Did you file your taxes?
Oh yeah, I filed my taxes months ago. I get that out of the way. Even with the new tax laws, I still get money back, just not as much back as I used to.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Thankfully, we got a return as well, and we filed them early enough where we got them already. And it's all spent, right? So it goes out just as fast as it goes in. But, we've got a lot of fun ahead. This is Fantasy Sports Today. George and I will continue on with weekend fantasy updates starting at 11. Later this morning, I believe it's in the WFU show, we've got Chris Mitchell, a staff writer at Fantrax, podcast host extraordinaire as well. He'll be talking some fantasy baseball with us. Well, focus is going to be mostly on fantasy baseball today. Throw in a little DFS action for you as well. Going to start breaking down yesterday's action, some notable performances, and to analyze what it means for your fantasy baseball future. But before we get into that, should we just take I'll throw the first Game of Thrones quiz question at you guys? Test your knowledge? Is it too early, George? Did you have breakfast?
I doubt it. No, I never eat breakfast. I'm not waking up any earlier, regardless of how early you text me to have breakfast. The Game of Thrones twist is going to be tough. I mean, not everyone's like you who's been watching it over again. I haven't seen it since the last time it was on. So I haven't been 18 months since I've seen a Game of Thrones. So shoot, let's see what we got here.
I have confidence in you. So I've been up since like 4:30. So if I nap in the middle of the show, don't mind me. But here's question number one. And Sean Engel, if you want to join in, feel free. What's the name of Arya Stark's sword? Here's the four choices: Long Claw, Oathkeeper, Needle, or Heartsbane.
I don't know what, Finn. I'll say Needle. I think that makes the most sense for her.
Okay. Sean, you agree, or you have the other answer?
I'm pretty sure it is Needle.
All right. Should I make you put your answers in the form of a question? No, that's Jeopardy. Okay. But you are correct. Needle.
That.
Yeah, look at that. See, I had confidence in you, George.
I had no idea. It just made the most sense for her. She's that the sword is very, very small, very thin.
Uh-huh. Since I've been watching the show it was very precious to her. It was given to her by Jon Snow before he left to go defend the wall. So, yeah, that was very special to her. So, right, the needle. Hey, and my buddy Ryan Hallam, he's at Fighting Chance Fantasy. You could follow him at Fighting Chance. He's got a Game of Thrones game here where he lists a bunch of all the characters, and you get to pick if they're alive, dead, or if they're going to become a White Walker. So, so it's pretty cool, actually. If you follow him on Twitter, or just go to his Twitter handle, like I said, at Fighting Chance, you could he'll send you an email with this Word document. You fill it in, send it back to him, and you could win a free T-shirt of your choosing from RotoWear. So, yeah, interesting. Hey, guys, let me Jon Snow, alive, dead, or becomes a White Walker?
Are we talking tonight or by the end of the series?
I think it's by the end of the series. Yeah, not tonight, yeah.
Alive, dead. Now he's what?
There's no right or wrong answer here. It's just, what you think is going to happen.
There is a right or wrong answer.
Well, there will be eventually. Right now, there isn't.
All right, there's certainly a right or wrong answer here. Yeah. I'm going to say dead. I'll say dead.
Wow, that's already happened to him once before. Sean, what do you think? Sean, what do you think? Jon Snow alive, dead, or does he become a White Walker? Wouldn't that be awesome if at the end of the series he becomes like the king of the White Walkers?
That would be quite something right there.
But what do you think there, Sean? Any guess?
I am going to say he's either by the end going to be dead or a White Walker. It's going to be one of the two, I'm feeling.
Okay.
Wow, so you take two of the three choices there. Way to go out on a limb.
A little bit of a wishy-washy answer from the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel, but we'll take it. So, yeah, I got to get a pen so I can fill this out and send it back to him. So, like I said, at Fighting Chance if you want to play along. So, let's get started. Got lots of games to cover, George. My opinion, the Indians are in trouble. Royals beat them 3-0 yesterday. Royals 4-10 now. Indians 8-6. Homer Bailey of all pitchers, two hits the tribe, six strikeouts in seven innings. Brad Miller, you remember him? Brad Miller, he's on the Indians now, got both of those hits. For the Royals, first baseman Ryan O'Hearn, nice Irish lad for you there, George. Home run for the Royals, 1-for-3, that's the second home run of the year. By the way, Ryan O'Hearn, don't play him against lefties. Batting 0.98 for his career against them, so keep that in mind. 2.98 versus righties if you're ever looking for a cheap option in DFS. Whit Merrifield, 2-for-4. I believe this is a two-game hitting streak after his 31-game hitting streak ended. You were upset about Whit Merrifield not getting enough attention over that hitting streak, George. Solid ball player. Say something nice about Merrifield. Let's get this show started on a positive note.
Well, I don't know if I was upset. I didn't lose any sleep over it. I just, I'm just surprised it wasn't a bigger media thing. I mean, it was a 30-game hit, a 31-game hit streak, and no one was talking about it. It was like it was nothing. And this is something that doesn't happen, or happens very rarely, actually. I know part of the reason is because, you know, it happened last year and this year. You know, so it wasn't like it was all this all in one season. But I was just still surprised that we didn't hear more about this.
Right. Okay. I thought you were upset, but I guess you were okay. You slept like a baby last night over this whole thing. Cleveland offense, George, we kind of touched upon it. We did a couple shows together yesterday. Now I'm seeing their triple slash as a team, 193, 286, 319, OPS of 605. We talked about Jose Ramirez slumping, no Francisco Lindor. What's the outlook for this team, George?
Well, then, you know, you just said the stats. They're not hitting at all. I mean, they're not hitting at all. Ramirez is major slumping. You know, he's not playing all that well right now. You know, well, maybe does he need his buddy? You know, he needs his buddy back in Lindor. They let Brantley go during the offseason. I think that's hurting them as well. They don't have that extra juice in the lineup. They did call up Carlos Gonzalez, but he's not the answer.
Right.
Yeah, he's not going to turn things around all of a sudden. Where he's, oh my God, Gonzalez is here. We're going to be fine now.
Him and Hansley Ramirez.
Yeah, good luck with that. As for Lindor, you know, he got the ankle injury, which is the one what he hurt. Now the calf is healed, but he turned his ankle. So he's looks like he's going to join AAA for a rehab stint tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now your guess is as much as anybody's mine. How long he'll need to spend down there? You know, a week, 10 days, 2 weeks. You know, but he'll be back, I think, by the end of the month. I think that's safe to say. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the cure for this offense right now. But right now, I'm not so sure that Lindor cure is enough to cure it. I don't know if any one player is going to cure this offense. I think they have some issues.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, now with Clevinger out for a while, the strength of this team was their starting staff, right? Do you think that that they have enough ammunition in that starting staff where they could, you know, withstand, you know, keep it close maybe until this offense could get things rolling again?
Well, they have no choice, right? I mean, Clevinger's out until June. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a blow because Clevinger's a damn good pitcher, so that's certainly a blow there. But they don't have a choice. That pitching staff has to be the strength of this team now. I mean, there's just no other issue if they want to compete this year.
Right.
Because it doesn't look like they're going to hit all that much, and they don't have a lot of money to go out and, you know, go trade for whatever free agent they want to go get. Someone on a big contract that another team wants to get rid of. They're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to pitch. Carrasco getting lit up the other night with 6 runs in a third of an inning. That's concerning. Mm-hmm, that's just as Carlos Carrasco. I mean, he's not Jacob DeGrom, but he's the next tier down. This should not happen.
But
to Kansas City, he gets destroyed like that. So that's something where I raised a red flag, too. Kluber's been up and down. Bauer had a bad last start, although Bauer's been good this season. So, like I said, there's a lot of red flags going on in Cleveland right now.
Bieber is the answer. And not Justin either. Shane. Yeah.
Yes. All right, so Shane, sure.
Before we leave this game, Willie Peralta got his first save of the season for the Royals. Ian Kennedy's gotten saves on this team. Brad Boxberger's gotten saves on this team. What's going on? You're the closer guru. What's going on here?
Oh, it's a committee. You know, we talked about this yesterday. They're one of those teams that's a committee. It looked like it was going to be Boxberger to begin the season, then it wasn't. And now it's just all over the place. And I don't mind this. I think this is the way a team probably should be run. Mm-hmm. You know, where you throw the pitcher in the inning you think you need him to get the outs in. If that's the sixth inning, fine. Seventh inning, fine. You know, if it ends up being the ninth inning, fine. And they're one of these teams where no agent's calling. You know, and going, hey, why isn't my guy pitching the ninth inning getting the save? No one's earned that. You know, Boxberger's not that guy. His agent could try and do that. Once again, saves are what gets paid. So agents want their guys to pitch in the ninth inning. You know, but good luck with that and with this team. I think that's the one benefit of not having that true lockdown guy. You know, not having the Jansons, the Iglesias, Vasquez, Diaz's of the world, Chapman, is that you can pitch these guys where you feel you need them. Only problem is generally the reason why you're doing that is because they're not as good as the Chapmans, Jansons, and Diaz's of the world.
And talking about, you know, agents and closers and stuff like that, and Craig Kimbrel supposedly, you know, there's some noise kind of matter there that maybe he's amended his demands. Did you hear about that with Craig Kimbrel?
Well, of course he's amended his demands. This is not news. He was asking for six years over $100 million in the offseason. So obviously he's had to amend his demands. That's not going to happen anymore. So I don't think that's – listen, sometimes people report things that we all know. I mean, thanks for that. You know, thanks that he's amended his demands. Good to know.
All right. Tell us how you really feel, George.
Well, if he didn't amend his demands, it means he's not playing this year.
It's Ken Rosenthal, man. Ken Rosenthal's reporting this.
Thanks,
not just some schlub.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah.
We would have never figured that out, that he's had to amend his demands.
All right. You know what? You know what? Your attitude, you're getting another question here in Game of Thrones.
I got the first one right.
Yes. Yes, you did.
I'm playing with house money.
Listen up, Sean, as well. So what does the word Khaleesi refer to? So it's one of Daenerys Targaryen's captured cities, one of Daenerys Targaryen's titles, one of Daenerys Targaryen's dragons, or the name of Daenerys Targaryen's advisor?
I'm going to say a title.
It is definitely a title, 100%.
There you go. There you go. And she has 32 of them, it seems, right? Mother of Dragons, you know, Freer of This, Breaker of Chains, right? She just has a lot of different titles there, but you guys are correct.
She's got a lot of crap going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a busy woman.
Yes. All right. So you guys are 2 for 2 this morning. Got, like I said, a pretty good quiz happening here in the post, and we'll cover. So will you be watching tonight there, George?
Well, not if I have to ref. If I have to ref, I won't be home, God, till about 11. So that'll be on that. I can't watch it live anyway. I don't have HBO. So I'll have to watch it on HBO Go or Plus, and I don't know how quickly that comes on. I know it's pretty quickly. So I'll probably end up watching it around midnight.
All right, so maybe I shouldn't have texted you that early, knowing that you'd have to stay up that late to watch it.
I'm never up at 7 a.m. Never. Well, on Tuesdays I'm up at 7 a.m., but that's it. That's it. People sleep, Joe. It's Sunday. All right?
Yeah, but we're working. We're working the weekends.
I can still sleep at 7:30.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess I try to get up early before our shows, do a little prep. I mean, I'm not like you. You have this mind where I can ask you anything and you have an answer for it. So just good stuff coming out of George Kurtz. Not only can he help you.
I just say everybody sucks.
Help you build something. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, we come back. We'll take a look. Reds, Cardinals, what happened last night. And continue with our Game of Thrones celebration. More questions for the Fantasy Prince and the Fantasy Handyman, George Kurtz. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Your motor running on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports today. Joe Galena, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Angle hanging out with us. It's a glorious day, George.
It's actually not.
It's a little foggy outside.
It's a good Game of Thrones day. It's it's misty. It is very foggy outside. My God, it's like waking up in a different time zone here. It's just strange. So it's actually not the nicest day. And I wonder what havoc that's going to play on today's games. By the way.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. We had, I think, one postponement yesterday, but that was the A's game. But it is kind of foggy, murky out. Almost looks reminds me of like Winterfell, that Winterfell castle of the Starks is kind of a dark place, right? So we've been celebrating a little Game of Thrones, the season premiere of the series finale, although I think that there's going to be a follow-up series to this too. I guess, you know, we're asking all these questions, but...
Prequel?
Yeah, okay.
Prequel.
But we're asking all these questions. Supposedly there were books written. Sean, do you know if the HBO series follows the books to a T, or do they take liberties? Because, you know, I guess if we read the books, we kind of know what's going to happen this season.
With how HBO handles it, it's a lot like how AMC handles The Walking Dead. Like, they take a lot of the basic plot lines pretty much to a T from the source material, but they do also take liberties, add different characters, and change some of the storylines as well. But the overall plot, for the most part, is basically the big same. Except the fact that that now the show is ahead of the books. So there's that.
Uh-huh.
Too.
So they've had to create their own content then, I guess, right? If they're ahead of the books.
Yeah, except they basically have gotten like small notes from George R.R. Martin himself about the basic plot lines.
Ah, okay, where he thinks it's going.
Yeah, and then they've kind of taken their own creative liberties since about season 5, I'd say.
A wealth of knowledge, this fantasy prince, Sean Angle. Great stuff. So that first question, Jon Snow, alive, dead, becomes a White Walker. He's been killed already. I don't think he becomes a White Walker. I'm going to say alive. That's my question. Next character, Sansa Stark. Alive, dead, becomes a White Walker. This poor girl has gone through hell, Sansa Stark. But she's a strong character now. So I'm putting alive for Jon Snow. And they've killed a lot of Starks. So I don't see her going. I don't know. I say a life for her as well. What do you guys think?
Let Sean go first here.
Well, I am leaning more with her being alive by the end of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because she's like really become a very strong character in terms of everything that she's had to deal with. Do you agree there, George, in terms of alive?
Wouldn't shock me if she's the only Stark left living after this. I'll go to light as well.
Yeah. All right, good. Good stuff. Okay, so Reds, Cardinals. Reds beat the Cardinals 5-2. Reds now 5-8. Cardinals 8-6. A couple of highlights. Jesse Winker, 1-for-3, hit his third home run of the season. Looks like he's starting to heat up after a very slow start. Joey Votto, 1-for-3. Yasiel Puig, 0-for-4, now batting 132, George. Lots of people were in on Puig. You know, they love the move to Cincy. If you look at what he's done in, obviously a great hitter's park, at least the Great American Ballpark is known as. For his career now, 241, 322, 456, triple slash, batting 132. Still the same fiery kind of guy that just, you know, it's just always seems to be on the highlight reels, sometimes more for the wrong reasons. But what do you think about Yasiel Puig? Were you in on him in the preseason? And what do you think about him going forward?
No, I was not in on the preseason. I don't have him on any team. Never really even thought about him. I get the love. You know, we know he has super talent. He just can't put it all together. His head's just not all there. It's just not. But we liked him because he went to Cincinnati. Small ballpark, that sort of thing here. But no, I wasn't all that. His ADP was much higher than I would have liked. I mean, I took a couple of rounds higher. And I was glad when someone else took him off my plate and I didn't have to worry about him. So, nope week for me. Maybe, I said, he'll have moments. He will have his moments. The talent is there. He just has not. He's proven over and over again he can't put it all together.
Right, right. I will say I could pretty much only go up from here with the 132 batting average. Were you surprised when you know, he kind of got involved with that big melee last week? That's just him, right?
Well, I mean, the melee was after the home run by Dietrich, and we literally stood there and admired it for way too long. He really. I don't know why he was so upset. I mean, Dietrich had to know this was coming. Mm. When you do that, you're gonna get thrown out. And right. He was throwing that correctly. It was
behind his butt. Yeah, it wasn't like they weren't headhunting.
I don't. I'm not a big fan of throwing at batters, but he threw him below the waist. So he wasn't going to hurt him. Didn't throw at his head. Didn't throw at his upper body. And I said, I don't think Dietrich had any right to be surprised about this. Yeah. And you're going to do that. You're going to literally show up a pitcher. You're going to get thrown at. All right. That's pretty much baseball 101 there. And for Puig to go ballistic like that, not too smart in his case.
Yep, I agree with you. Dietrich actually started at second base for the Reds yesterday afternoon. 2-for-4, 3 runs batted in. Hit his 4th home run of the season, averages up to .233, and like you mentioned, likes to enjoy watching the flight of his home runs. Tanner Roark, 5.1 innings pitch, 1 earned run, 5 Ks, 4.3 ERA. Any thoughts on Tanner Roark, or just the kind of middle of the rotation, if that much, in fantasy?
Yeah, he's not a middle of the rotation fantasy guy. He's the very bottom bench guy. You throw him out there every now and then, but you really don't want him. Once again, same problem. Pitching in a small ballpark, and he's not very good. Those are two very bad things that go together. You know, not good in small ballpark. So no, that'll be someone else's problem.
Gotcha. Old man Wainwright, Adam Wainwright, we mentioned him briefly yesterday. And listen, don't tell him that he wasn't selected in any of your fantasy drafts this season. He does take it personal. So 6 inning pitched, 2 earned runs, both coming off of home runs, 3.94 ERA. Any way that you would consider, what league would it take for you to use Adam Wainwright or just draft him and throw him on your bench? Would it have to be like an 18-team league at this stage, if at all?
I mean, listen, over leagues I play in, I don't know if he's drafted in any of them. I don't think he is. There's a chance he's on somebody's bench. But I don't remember him being drafted. Cause I remember thinking I didn't know he was playing. Mm-hmm. You know, I say that as a joke, but that's what I mean. His name just never came up in fantasy leagues, which is rare. Mm-hmm. Over leagues you play, you would have thought someone would have grabbed him somewhere with the name value he has there. Listen, I'm not taking him. He's somebody you want to – if it's in a no-cost league, a first-come, first-serve league, and you like the matchup that day, okay. You know, he's playing Miami, okay. I'm okay with that. You know, I know Miami scored 10 runs yesterday, but that's the only situation I can see grabbing him.
Mm-hmm. All right, Colton Wong hit his 4th home run of the year. Been getting attention within the past week or so because he got off to such a hot start. Colton Wong, kind of a guy that, I think many of us expected a little bit more out of his career. But right now batting .313, like I mentioned, the 4 home runs, has 4 stolen bases. So any interest in Colton Wong?
I think it is fair to say that we expected more out of his career. I think that's very fair because we did. We thought he'd be a better player than he ended up being here. So I think that's a fair evaluation of Mr. Wong. As far as he's got up to a hot start this year, and if he realizes all his talent, he could do a little bit of everything. He's got some pop, not a big guy, but he's got some pop, and he can steal some base, and his average should be good. So he's like almost a perfect middle infielder for you. And that's what you want him for. I have no problem grabbing him. Do I think this will last all season? Probably not. Probably not. But I don't think he'll kill you either. I like to say a lot that baseball is a tough game, and for some players, it does take longer than others to figure it out. The problem is, this has been a long time. To think that Wong all of a sudden is putting it all together now, I don't know about that. That seems to be pie in the sky, really wishful thinking there. But still, like I said, I don't mind him as a middle infielder.
Yeah, if you look at StatCast, they think that his numbers will come down, but Yeah, you know, you kind of hit it on the head. You could do a little bit of everything. So StatCast thinks he's more of like a 270 hitter, which I think is probably more in line. And before we head out to that jump off of this game, the Reds Cardinals, Matt Carpenter, Goldie, two hits each. So we could move on from there. Marlins beat the Phillies. Marlins beat the Phillies. Believe that? Marlins 10, Phillies 3. Marlins now 4-11, Phillies 8-5. Brian Anderson, 3-for-5, first home run of the season, stolen base. Just to show you, you know, how early we are in the baseball season, he came into the game batting 191. That 3-for-5 day put him, added 40 points to his batting average. So, George, it's a good example of, you know, why this time of year you just don't get too crazy over, you know, highs and lows, you know, because it could, numbers fluctuate so quickly day to day this early in the season.
Yeah, same thing happens in your fantasy leagues, by the way. You can move up in the standings real quick, real fast, real quick.
Yeah,
you know,
yep.
It just takes one big night here. The standings really haven't been set yet, where you're struggling for every little point. You can, like I said, you can jump up real quickly here, so no reason to panic just yet. You're right. Baseball, you know, we need patience in baseball, and we generally don't have it. We're not a patient group. Fantasy owners are not patient. You know, right. Society as a whole is not patient. We want things now. Mm-hmm. We are the microwave society big time. But baseball is the marathon. You have to realize that certain players never hit well in April. They just don't. Whether it's the cold weather, they got to get used to, whatever they got to get used to. They just don't. So you need to be patient. Yeah, I'm not saying that's every player on your roster. You know, 28 rounds, you're keeping everybody. No, I turn the bottom of my roster all the time here. And I watch games and I look at guys. And even guys who I probably know I should be patient, you look at him like, you know, he looks terrible. I'm moving on. You know, so it happens to all of us. But your top players, the players when you draft them, you expect them to really help you win. You know, those your core players, you got to be patient. You got to wait it out. Unless there's an injury going on there that's causing the poor performance, patience. Relax, as Aaron Rodgers would say.
And Frankie said it too a while ago. Relax, don't do it.
When you want to.
Remember that song?
Tune. I do. I like that tune.
Yeah. Good advice there, George. Neil Walker, 2-for-5, 3 home runs in this game. Remember him. Jorge Alfaro, the Marlins picked him up in the trade with the Phillies. Get back in his old team, 2-for-3, now batting .316. Austin Dean, decent minor league numbers, .281 batting average, a little power, a little speed. No fantasy value, but just mentioned that he went 4-for-4, 3 runs scored, 5 runs batted in, and hit his first home run. Miguel Rojas, 3-for-3, 3 runs scored. You play in a ton of leagues. And who are the guys that you own off this Marlins team? You know,
none.
Can't be too many. None? Not even Alfaro?
Actually, I do own Alfaro. In a one-catcher league, I'm waiting for everyone catcher. Oh, I was waiting for it. Don't even talk to me about a catch until the last round. Didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I'll wait, especially in an auction league. I'm not spending anything more than a dollar or two on a catcher in a one catcher league. So I do have Alfaro. I think the last league I drafted in, I took Alfaro. And I'm fine with that. No problem with that at all. I have Alcantara on a few leagues as a bench guy. Just to see if he really does develop. I think this guy is a future, possible future ace in the making. Not this year. But possible future race, and he will strike batters out. So there'll be certain matchups that I want to start him in, not against the Phillies. We got wrecked earlier this, I believe, maybe Friday night in this homestand. But Alcantara is someone I keep an eye on as well. And listen, you want Castro and or Neil Walker as a reserve middle infielder? I don't have a problem with that. You know, Castro, I'm still surprised Castro's still on this team. I would have thought he would have been traded by now. But I think his defensive issues worry teams.
Yeah. Very possible. Some of their pitchers, I guess, you could. The thing is that they're not going to win that many games, right? So that's the issue there. Trevor Richards pitching fairly well, has a 2 ERA. I get where you're coming from. Hey, on the Phillies, Scott Kingery came in for Michael Franco and ended up going 2-for-2. Didn't hear anything about an injury to Franco. I don't know. Maybe the game got out of hand and they decided that maybe Kingery needed to get some rust off his bat. But Philly starter Zach Eflin, 0.75 ERA at the start of the game, lit up for 6 runs in 4 innings. Here's another guy, Caleb Smith. Six shutout innings for the Marlins, six strikeouts, three walks, 2.65 ERA on the season. Now has 21 Ks in 17 innings pitched. Is he a guy that you would consider, George? I think he's a former Yankee, right? No?
Nope.
No?
Nope. No. I mean, once again, it all consists of what you need here. Mm-hmm. But what are we talking about yesterday? With guys like this, all right? They're already down to four category guys. They're not getting saves. Well, they're not going to get wins. Mm-hmm. Now you're down to three categories. You know, we're not talking about a big strikeout guy here. And you know, there's some days where the ratios take a beating.
Well, 21 Ks and 17 innings pitched so far.
Yeah, but that's not his history. He won't be that. You know, so no, I'm not interested. It's very hard for me to have someone on my team who I know is not wins are going to be tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one started him last night because no one expected that win to come last night. Right. You're going to start against the Giants, you know, teams like that, because that's where you think the win might come. You know, so that's why it's so tough to chart this guy. If you want to put him on the bottom of your roster, and once again, a reserve, and you plug him in there every now and then because you look at the matchups, okay, I like his matchup this week, fine. But it's going to be what, you're going to start him once every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks? You know, you should be able to do better here. But pitching's thin. I mean, I'm talking more of a 10-12 team league. You're in a 12-14-16 team league, well, then everybody's valuable. You know, we got to plug these guys in. But a basic question. Yeah, you know, when we talk, well, we're talking more about 12-team leagues. Yeah, you know, that's leagues the most. It's not asking 10-team leagues the most popular, but 12 is what most of us play in. So, like I said, Caleb Smith, that's what he is. You know, start then I'll move on.
Right, and to add to what you said, which was all very fine, if you play in a league where you're calculating, where you know quality starts is, category, maybe then he has a little bit more value. No, I get the wins.
Well, I mean, we can always add qualifiers. Well, if you play in this kind of league, this guy, I mean, we'll be here all night to talk about one player. Depending on what type of league, most leagues don't.
If you play in a league where all the guys have to have the last name Smith, he'd be super valuable.
He'd be really good. Yeah, him and Malik Smith. You know, maybe Dominic Smith. Yeah, the Mets have to give him a chance.
Right. Right.
And that's why I always love qualifier questions like that. Well, you play in this type of league. Well, yes, you know, but most of us don't play in that type of league. I think we should, mind you. I think quality start should be a stat over wins. Another little pet peeve. We'll have to get rid of average, too.
I think maybe next year you and I should start a Smith and Jones league. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back. Giants, Rockies, next. More Game of Thrones, too.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
My favorite 80s metal bands, Quiet Riot, Bang Your Head. I bang my head quite often when I have a bad DFS night or we're losing some money here. One of my favorite team loses, whatever it is. Quiet Riot. Were you a big Quiet Riot fan, Joe?
I wouldn't say big, but yeah, I like the songs. I mean, Come On, Feel the Noise, another one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I like I love that one. Yeah. Yeah,
Come On, Feel the Noise is good as well. So
that whole genre of big hair, heavy kind of, I don't know if you call it heavy metal or it is definitely hard rock. Just get you all revved up.
Rat.
Yeah, Rat. Right.
Rat was always good.
And not to be a sexist, but the hotter the women in their music videos, the more I like the band.
Well, that's pretty much everybody likes that. Okay. I don't know if it's sexist or just human nature.
Wow.
If you're a male, I mean, come on.
That's 30 years ago. You know, the things were, I shouldn't say more accepted, but, just try to, I don't want to step on any toes here, but,
Oh, yeah. God forbid we should ever do that on one of these shows. Right. All right. Yeah, we're so politically correct. Good luck with that. All right, with Major League Baseball season in full swing, it's time to swing for the fences playing Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the eighth Daily Roto FanDuel or DraftKings $1 million tournament winner, or become one of the countless number of people who have won a gaudy pile of Benjamins using Daily Roto's lineup optimizers. If you are playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, the use of lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today. Sounds like a good plan to me. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Gleaner. I'm George Kurtz. Joe and I, we're here every Sunday. Every Sunday morning, Joe. But not next Sunday. Sunday. No,
we'll be deep
next
in prayer.
Sunday. Yeah, yes. That's what I'll be. Yes, deep in prayer. I don't think I'll be deep in his sleep. That's what I'll be doing next Sunday at 8:45.
I'm going to text you real early.
Yeah, you do, you bastard. Now I'll be. Remember that gun to your head that you didn't want me to come? Yeah,
right.
Coming to Staten Island. I am far.
Hey, it's going to cost you a lot of money to get to Staten Island these days. They just
maybe worth it if you wake me up.
I think it's like $19 now for non-Staten Island residents without an Easy Pass. Crazy stuff to get over that Rosano Bridge, but I'm worth it, baby. I'm worth it.
What is it with an Easy Pass?
As a Staten Island resident with an Easy Pass, I pay a little less than $6 a trip.
And what about if you're not a Staten Island person with an Easy Pass?
I'm not 100% sure. I just know that the number 19, rings a bell. It is crazy. Yeah. But I am worth it.
Absolutely freaking nuts that it's that expensive. And anyway, Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina, George Kurtz. We're here every Sunday. I was about to say we have Chris Mitchell later, but that's actually on Weekend Fantasy Update, which Joe and I will be doing also. Right. No Cam Stewart today. Cam is still in Vegas, but on his way back, I think, tonight, if I remember correctly. I think he's taking the red eye. So it should be interesting to talk to him tomorrow on Game Time Decisions.
Oh, he's going to have some great stories to tell.
Right. See,
that's a must-listen tomorrow, Game Time Decisions with him and Gabe, man.
I know his week was going pretty well during the week. He was hitting some winners, actually hitting a bunch of winners, and seemed to be doing very well and having a great time. Hopefully that continued over the weekend. We shall see. His Toronto Maple Leafs lost last night, game two against the Boston Bruins. And I guess we'll talk a little hockey here since it's my segment. We'll get some hockey in there.
Sure.
Like I said, the Bruins did even up the series against the Maple Leafs 1-1. I don't want to say the big news coming out of the series, but Joe, this is a nasty series. Now, you and I talked yesterday about the Lightning and the Blue Jackets and Nikita Kucherov. Mm-hmm. I mentioned a superstar player did a dirty play, and I was wondering what the suspension was going to be. They suspended him one game. Okay. Now, the NHL has always looked at as playoff games being worth a lot more than regular season games. And I mentioned, I think if this was a regular season game, he'd have gotten 3, 4, 5, somewhere around there. He gets one playoff game. Now, don't get me wrong. They're down 2-0 in the series. You take away their best player, this might signify doom. Yeah, it might end them. You know, but I think he probably deserved, I think I'd have to give at least 2. That's what I think. Now, I bring this up because last night, another dirty play. It was a rough game, and there were quite a few dirty plays in the game. But Nazem Kadri, who has a history, that's the key thing. He's been suspended before. He's been a problem before. Good player, not a superstar, but a good, solid player. But it was close to a knee-on-knee, which, once again, can be considered dirty depending on how it happens. Sometimes they're accidental. This one didn't look like it was, but it wasn't quite knee-on-knee. He ended up getting tripped and flying in the air and came back in the game, so he wasn't hurt. But later in that game, he takes a stick and cross-checks someone in the face, in the head.
Boy.
And he got thrown out. Yeah, he's gonna get suspended again. And I'm curious to see how many games he'll get.
Yeah.
It's a play, Joe, where, you know, if I did that to you in the street, I'm arrested. But in the NHL, we'll see what the NHL gives him as far as a suspension. I'm curious to see what he gets because, as I said, he's a repeat offender. You know, Nikita Kucherov has never really – I don't think he's ever been suspended before. I don't know if he's ever been disciplined before. Kadri has on more than one occasion. So I'm curious to see what happens to him. But as I told you, Joe, the NHL, you never know.
So now the series is tied 1-1, right? And was this just like the Bruins just trying to, like, you know, make a statement here? You know, because, yeah, I'm looking at the headlines. The Bruins play the tough guy in game two, you know, and Maple Leafs lose their composure. So you think that this was a an effort to just kind of take the Maple Leafs out of their game maybe and looking forward to the next few games, you know, just to, you know, have it in the back of their mind? You know,
I think that's a pretty good way to look at it. I do. I think, once again, the Bruins are the heavier team. Toronto's the more skilled team. Toronto's not known as a big bruising team. They don't have those kind of players. You know, and not that the Bruins, not really no NHL team does, but there's still certain NHL teams that are bigger, stronger than other teams. And the Bruins are that kind of team. Toronto's a very skilled team. I mean, if you try and play Toronto skill for skill, there's not too many teams that can do that. I mean, with Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, there's a lot of skill there, a lot of skill there. So this could have been the Boston Bruins way, hey, we're going to hit you, hit everything that moves, legally or illegally. The thing is, you don't want to, you can't afford to take too many penalties here, but it was a nasty game last night. It really was. I don't want to say back to old-time hockey when you and I were younger, and there were brawls all over the place, but it was certainly not for the faint of heart. I mean, they were gonna be hits here. You know,
what do you prefer, by the way? You're a long-time hockey fan, obviously. Do you prefer the more bruising aspect of the game, or do you like the more skillful kind of, you know?
I have no problem with the bruising part, but don't use your stick. Don't use it as a weapon. You want to hit somebody with your body? I'm good with that. That's what hockey is. But your stick's a weapon. Don't be swinging your stick around. You know, and using it as a weapon, as a bat or a sword. You know, I don't like that at all. I don't like the clutching and grabbing. I do want to see the skill, but I want to see the hitting too. I'm an American, man. I want to see hitting. That's why I've never understood why hockey doesn't take off. It has everything. Mm-hmm. It has hitting. It's fast. I get it. There aren't enough goals scored, but even that, the goal scoring is up this year. It's been up the last couple of years. So the NHL is trying to fix that. But I prefer a mixture of both. You know, I like fights. I do. You don't see them anymore. But I like them. As long as it's two willing combatants, I have no problem with a fight. You know, none. I don't like it when someone's, you know, I wouldn't want some big guy beating me up, so I don't like that. You know, if the other guy doesn't want to fight, then there's no fight. You know, but I also don't like it where the little guys, like the Brad Marchands of the Boston Bruins, very good player, but he does a lot of dirty things. And he does things that back 20 years ago, he wouldn't be able to do them because he would have gotten his ass kicked.
He would have gotten
his doors blown off. But now that no one... You know, the NHL's not that kind of league anymore. We don't see that, so he gets away with this kind of crap. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. Players taking advantage of that, where you normally wouldn't have seen that. Players can't police themselves as much anymore. So I said, I don't enjoy that. So like I said, that series is tied 1-1. And the Capitals and Hurricanes, you know, Caps got off to a 2-0 lead. Looked like they were going to win this one pretty easily. Caps were defending Cup of Senate Stanley Cup champions. Carolina tied the game up a couple of times, tied it up at 2-2. Caps go ahead 3-2. Carolina ties it up at 3-3, goes to overtime. Overtime was a theme last night. A lot of overtime games. And, Joe, man, there's nothing like it. If you're a fan or you have money on the game or any rooting interest, an overtime NHL playoff game will drive you in. You're not sitting down. You can't sit down. I mean, you just can't. Everything scares the crap out of you. So it was great. A lot of overtime playoff games last night, and this was one of them. Capitals ended up winning 4-3. Like I said, defending cup chance. Carolina probably out of their depth here. You know, first time they made the playoffs, I think, in a decade. And listen, they gave them a good game, but in the end, they lost here. And like I said, for Carolina, I think it's just a matter of keep building. Keep building. Yeah, another theme in these playoffs, and that I can't remember. I talked to this about with Gabe, I think, on Friday or Thursday or Friday. So many teams in the playoffs, I think there are four of them, are going with more than one goalie. They don't have just one goalie. Islanders, Leonard and Greece. Carolina, McElhenney and Mrazek. The Avalanche, Grubauer and Varlamov. Calgary, Smith and Rittich. That's unusual, but it's also another pattern we're seeing this year, teams with more than one goalie.
Was this prevalent also in the regular season, or did they switch over?
No, same thing in the regular season. All these teams use both. When I say they had more than one, there really was no starter here. They kept switching off. right now all these teams have stick with the with their one guy. I wonder if there'll be some change at Carolina. I wonder if they'll switch now. They're down two games, sort of nothing to lose. Gotta try and get a spark.
Shake things up a little bit, yeah.
Right, shake things up. Islanders are up 2-0. They're not changing. Colorado just won there. Just even the series, I doubt they're changing. Calgary's also 1-1. And I don't know if you can blame Mike Smith for that loss last night. They lost 3-2 in overtime, which is the next game we'll talk about, Colorado and Calgary. Calgary, they have the best record in the Western Conference. All right, best record in the Western Conference. They probably got the best draw in facing Colorado. It's why it was so important to win that division, because you wanted to play Colorado and not get stuck playing Vegas or San Jose. That series is also tied at 1-1. They'll have game three today. Calgary, very good offensive team. I mean, they got players. They can score goals. They can score a lot of goals. They can score them quickly. Defense is okay. The question mark has been goaltending. And, Joe, goaltending in the NHL is like quarterback in football. Without it, you're going to have a tough time winning.
Right. Right. I mean, even back in the day when I was heavy into it, right? I mean, you would ride the hot goalie. I mean, you know, who was the Rangers that won them the Stanley Cup final? Can't think of
Richter.
His name, but I see his face. Richter. Yeah, I mean, you got a hot goalie and it'll take you all the way.
Yeah, it helps. You can't win with that one. You can't win with that one. It's hard not to. That's why it's so strange with these four teams that have been rotating goalies all season. You just don't see that. You know, it's something I like to say. If you have two goalies, it means you don't have one. It means you don't trust one.
That's a good point.
It's highly unusual that you have two great goalies. Oh, my God, we don't know which one to use there because they're both fantastic. Nobody has that. There's generally not enough goalies to go around in the NHL. But, hey, you know, it's working. I love the hockey playoffs. Love it. I love it much more than the regular season because the games mean more. The intensity is higher. And I just think, to me, that's a whole lot of fun. Only game we haven't talked about from last night, Nashville and Dallas, also goes to overtime. Three overtime games. That was fair. I mean, wow. Three. That's great. Nashville-Dallas. Nashville wins 2-1 in this series. Nashville's a weird team. You know, I think Gabe put it perfectly. You know, he said he wouldn't be surprised if Nashville was eliminated in round one or went to the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, they have the talent, Joe. They have the talent. Mm-hmm. The defense when they play up to their stats is the best defense in the league. It's really not close. You got a good goalie in Pekka Rinne. You know, a little inconsistent, but still very good goalie in Pekka Rinne. And you have enough offense, Arvidsson, Forsberg, where you should be able to do some damage here. The problem is, you know, up the middle, Johansson, Turris have been so-so. You know, certainly not playing up to what we expected them to play up to. So that's their issue there. And up the middle in the NHL, like other sports, you know, some baseball, you know, you're not good up the middle, you're going to have problems. Same thing with basketball. You don't have the tall guy up the middle, you're going to have some problems. Hockey's the same way. If you can't win faceoffs, if your centers aren't playing well, you're going to have problems. Winning faceoffs in the NHL is important. It's like time of possession in football. If you win a faceoff, you got the puck. You know, in football, you got the foot, you know, you got the ball. The other team generally can't score. I understand there's you know, pick sixes and stuff like that, but generally you're going to do very well if you control time possession there. Same thing in hockey. Nothing changes. So, like I said, those all series went to OT last night. We have four games today, including one thing I didn't realize, Joe, when you and I were talking yesterday. My Islanders, as you like to say. My Islanders. I own.
I like he's taking possession now. Good.
Okay. The Islanders. They play at 12 o'clock today. Okay, I mean, this game will be mostly played while we're on air. So,
I'm sure it'll be on in the background.
You think? You think? I think there's a fairly good chance of that happening.
You were saying that you had, Dallas Cowboy blue or Dallas Cowboy silver painted on in your office or, you know, your man cave. No Islander orange? What's the prevalent color in the, you know, I mean, at one point they were the Gordon's Fishermen, right? But what would you say the main color would be for the Islanders? Is it the orange?
I mean, you could say it's blue, too. I mean, it's Nassau County, so it's orange and blue. That's what Nassau County is.
But
the problem is I already have blue in the room, right? I had the Yankee blue, and which is, you said it's navy blue, and that's on the walls. So if I could do another, Islander blue would be a couple of shades lighter, and that wouldn't look right. So I didn't want to have two blues. Orange, come on, man, that's really bright. So no, I had to stay away from that. No Islander colors here. I have some Islander plaques. I have an Islander jersey on the wall, but No.
How far
no,
do they go, George?
Here. Listen, I had Pittsburgh in six in the series.
Okay.
I picked Pittsburgh in six. Now it's going to be very tough for Pittsburgh to win this series. Not impossible, mind you. Being down 2-0 when you lose the first two games on the road, that's happened many times.
3-0 still come back is and won. Almost impossible.
3-0 is impossible. Yeah, 3-0, mm-hmm, you're pretty much you're done. So Pittsburgh, this is a must-win game today. And I expect them to win. So I expect the series to really pick up on Tuesday. Because once again, that's when Pittsburgh either ties it up and it's a series again, or 3-1 is pretty much over here. That's what I expect, Joe. So Pittsburgh still has a fighter's chance, not over. But that game's at 12 o'clock. All the other games tonight are in the evening in the NHL playoffs there. So if you're wondering about those games, that's when they are. This is Fantasy Sports Today. I'm George Kurtz. He's Joe Galina. Sean Engel behind the glass. We'll be back after this.